tonight? Well, tonight the Lord began speaking to me about this message at the beginning of the week, and you know, often that's the case. And so I've been praying about this message all week, and so we're going to talk about forgiveness because it is such a big part of Christianity, and it's one of those things that often, whether we admit it or not, or whether we realize it even or not, my mom is going to share a personal story later about how the Lord showed her that she had all this unforgiveness and she didn't even realize it. And so she's going to share that story later. So, you know, I just challenge you. I know that this is what God wants me to speak. And I believe that through His word, we can gain understanding, because forgiveness is one of those things that we face on a consistent basis. It's not just for people that go through a lot of really hard things in their lifetime. It's not just for, you know, people that have all this stuff in their past. It is an ongoing thing. For those of us that are married, it is an ongoing thing that we choose whenever our spouse hurts our feelings or does something that we don't agree with or don't like. And, you know, the longer that you live with somebody, the more you get to know them. But still, forgiveness has to be an active part of our relationships, of our marriages, of our friendships, of our relationships with our children and people at work and, you know, people in our lives. And this is also something that we need to train our children in, something that they need to understand from an early age, that God genuinely forgives, but that we have to offer genuine forgiveness to each other. Forgiveness is one of those hard things, though, because there's a lot of confusion about forgiveness. Often we think that if I forgive somebody, I have now just said what they did was okay. And let me just clear that from the beginning. That is not the case. Because many times we know that, you know, that Stephen said, Lord, do not lay this sin to their charge, as they were stoning him. They were wrong in what they did. And yet he didn't want that to be held against them. So forgiveness, when we choose to forgive people, it doesn't mean that we're saying that what they did was right or what they did was okay. It means that we are releasing it to God, who is the perfect judge and who knows everything. So we all need forgiveness. So Josiah, if you put up the first PowerPoint, as we move through life, we end up holding on to a lot of things that we need to let go of. You know, when you move, you pack up all your stuff and you carry it, you know, to your next place. But we do this in life. The problem is sometimes some of the stuff that should have gotten put out in the yard sale, but not really, you know, given to God a long time ago, we're still carrying around with us. And so unforgiveness is a luxury that we're not allowed to keep. A luxury, if you put up the next one, a luxury is defined as something that is expensive and not necessary. Now, unforgiveness is expensive because it will cost us our relationship with God. It's a trade that's not worth it. It's not worth the trade as to what we have to give up. Because in Matthew 18, 34 and 35, it says, and we're going to study this passage a little bit later, but it says, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts do not forgive everyone his brother their trespasses. So we see here that forgiveness is not optional. In fact, the Lord's Prayer says, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And so forgiveness is not, it's not optional. It's not a choice. It's something that God requires of us. And we're going to look about why that is, because God does not play around with forgiveness. He does not give us an option. There's not a multiple choice. There is one choice that we choose to forgive. It's a very serious issue, and we cannot hold unforgiveness and stay in right relationship with Him and grow in our relationship with Him. He commands us to forgive. We have been forgiven too much to remain victims. And unforgiveness victimizes us. It keeps us in bondage to what's been done to us. Put up that next PowerPoint, Josiah. This is what unforgiveness does. It keeps us in bondage to that offense, to whatever is going on in our lives. And so Jesus came to set us free. And so he will not allow us to hold unforgiveness and remain in bondage and remain. He doesn't want us to remain victims because it keeps us in bondage to what's been done to us. It keeps our focus on offenses instead of on God. And you know, if you struggled with forgiveness, it is very hard to get that offense, to get that issue, to get that out of your mind. It keeps coming back and it keeps coming back and it keeps coming back. The problem with unforgiveness that a lot of people do not recognize and do not admit is that if you hold unforgiveness, it will color all of your other relationships. We try to push it down and squish it down and act like it's not a big deal. The problem is when we get bitter, that bitterness will color all of our other relationships. And it will cause us to begin to look at people in a different way, to look at God in a different way. And as Christians, we do not have that luxury. We are not given that choice. And so, if we are looking at God, who is the ultimate forgiver, I think I made up that word, but for he is the ultimate forgiver. If we are looking at him, if we fix our eyes on Jesus, we cannot be so busy looking inward at our own issues. At the things that are going on. We have to begin to look upward. And listen, I said this a couple of weeks ago, but the psychology major in me feels like that I need to take everything out and look at it and analyze it. But what God has been teaching me lately is what I need to do is focus on him. Because as we look at Jesus, we are changed into his image. So if you have to move the offense out of your way, and ignore it and look at Jesus. Move it out so that you can focus on him. Because then when we begin to focus on Jesus, we begin to get his perspective on the situation. And so unforgiveness causes us to look inward when we need to look upward. The definition of luxury was something that is expensive and not necessary. Unforgiveness is not necessary. Now, it feels necessary to our human selves. Our right and our need to defend our right to be angry or to hold unforgiveness or to, you know, whatever it is, to make that person pay or however it is that we feel, it feels necessary to our human selves. But we're to live by God's truth, not by our feelings. And when our truth and our feelings and our desires intersect with what God's word says is when the cross becomes very real in our lives. Because then we choose his will or ours. We choose to do what the word of God says, or we choose to live by what we feel and what we want and what our evaluation of the situation is. Love keeps no records of wrongs. That's what 1 Corinthians 13:5 says. And the Lord brought that scripture to my mind at a time when I was having a tiff with my husband. And, you know, we have those every blue moon, you know, once in a great while. You know, we have a little tiff. And when that happened, and the Holy Spirit one day, I mean, this scripture just came, and I was like, okay, I think that's it. Where is that? And so I looked it up, and yep, sure enough, it's 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love does not keep record of wrongs. Because let me tell you, it is a whole lot easier to stay angry if you can list everything that that person has done. And the devil will help you. He will bring to your mind everything from the last 6 months. I mean, and you can find yourself dwelling on things that, you know, that happened, you know, and happened and happened. And I remember in one particular incident, I just felt like, man, it just feels like, you know, we were just struggling that whole week. And I started to think back on the last time that we had argued, and it had been like a whole week. And I thought, I am, you know, in my mind, this was, man, we haven't gotten along all week and we've had issues. And the devil will magnify things. And if you will focus on the things that he is pointing out to you, he will get you so wrapped up in your own right to be angry that you have no reason to forgive. But then what are you doing? You're looking at yourself. You're looking at your feelings and your rights rather than at what the word of God tells us to do. And so what do? We take those situations to God and allow him to show us what to do with them. Because sometimes the Lord has led each one of us to speak our mind, to say, this is how I feel. Or, you know, he's led with different situations. Sometimes the Lord will lead you because the Bible says, if you have aught against your brother, go to him. There is a place for that. But sometimes the Lord will say, let it go. Do not keep a record of that wrong. And so we need to listen, learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Love does not keep a record of wrong. So do not be have a running tally in your mind of what people have done to you and go back and look at it and rehearse it, because it just gives you a reason to hold unforgiveness. Listen, God sees everything. You don't have to keep a record for him so that you can tell him everything that, but God, you don't understand. He sees and he knows, and God is just. And the Bible says that people will reap what they sow. So you don't have to worry about justice, because we serve a just God. But we get ourselves bound up in trying to be the judge, and we are not equipped to handle that role. God didn't equip us for that. And so we can't look outward and upward at the same time. We have to learn to fix our eyes on Jesus and let him heal us, because he is the one who is capable. And we're going to look, the Lord kind of did this message very differently. And he kept leading me to kind of define these different words. And so capable, Jesus is the one capable. So put up that next PowerPoint, Josiah. Capable means able to do something, having the qualities or abilities that are needed to do something, skilled at doing something, able to do something well. Jesus is capable of healing us, of showing us what to do, of leading us, of dealing with the other person. He's better at it than we are. And so if we will surrender that to him and release control of it, so that, yes, there are times in our relationships, whether it's, you know, whether it's a marriage relationship or a friendship or a situation at work or a situation with someone in church, whatever it is, there are times that God might want us to speak out, but it needs to be led by the Spirit, and it needs to have a right heart and be in his timing. A word in due season is what the Bible says, is how good it is. God is capable to handle the situation and to lead us into what to do in certain situations. But we have to be willing to surrender those situations to him. We have to stop being so busy, spending so much time looking at our situations, looking at our offenses, looking at our feelings, and learn to look at Jesus. And listen, it might go against everything that you're used to, because most of us, by nature, are used to looking at our own feelings. I mean, our feelings talk very loud to us. We don't have to ask them. You know, they just tell us without us even, you know, wanting them to sometimes. My feelings speak very loud to me. And so it is a work to remove my feelings from the situation and begin to live instead by what the Word of God says. And begin to apply God's truth instead of my feelings to a situation. But God will help us to do that. And so we need to focus our attention on God instead of on those things. Focus, another word we're going to define here. Focus should be the next PowerPoint, Josiah. The subject on which people's attention is focused. A main purpose or interest. Now, this is very interesting. The point at which rays of light, heat, or sound meet, or from which they move apart or appear to move apart, especially the point at which an image is formed by a mirror. So what we're focusing on will determine what we're looking at in the mirror. And now, plain mirrors, I looked up things about mirrors, because there's concave mirrors and there's plain mirrors. And a plain mirror, if you put up the next one, a plane mirror is when it is straight, and when what you're seeing, when you have a light source, it is reflected, produce images with a number of distinguishable characteristics, is what it says. Images formed by plane mirrors are virtual, upright, left, right, reversed, the same distance from the mirror as the object's distance, and the same size as the object. So the rays from the light source reflect off the plane mirror and hit our eyes. Now, this is important, because you need a light source to see the image in the mirror. You can stand in front of a mirror all day long in the dark. You will never see a reflection. It doesn't mean that it's not there, but you can't see it because there's no light reflecting. Now, Psalm 130, put up the next PowerPoint, Josiah. Psalm 119:130 says, "The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." We have to take time to look into the Word of God. Because otherwise, we can try to see what God is trying to show us. But if we do not apply the light source, We cannot see an accurate reflection of what's happening in our lives. We have to apply the light source so that we can see the reality of what's being reflected. So it is a partnership where we, like Janine said this morning, we open ourselves up to God. We get into the Word regardless of how we feel, regardless of if we feel spiritual or not. We get into the Word, and then His Word gives light. And we begin to get a reflection back. And God begins to show us things. And listen, sometimes, like I said, you will meet the cross in those moments. Because God will begin to show you and deal with you sometimes when you would rather that He deal with the other person. And you want to say, but God, you know, are you dealing with the other person? You know, because really they are more the problem here. You know, especially those of us that are married, it's easy to go, you know, you need to get them. You know, but the truth is, all of us need to be looking into the mirror with the source of light and allowing God to reflect what we need to see, what we need to change. Because God uses people, people at work. I talked to Brother Mike yesterday, and I was just asking him some questions and getting some insight from him. And he is telling me about a situation at work that he has dealt with a person. And he said, I have done everything that I can to go to him and ask him, you know, look, is there a problem? Is there an offense? God uses the people in our lives to teach us. And sometimes it's frustrating. But in those moments is the times when we need to go back to God and say, God, what are you teaching me here? What do you want me to learn? What are you accomplishing in my lives? As we allow God's word to shine on things and places in our hearts, we need to let the word of God read us. Not only do we need to read it, but we need to let the word of God read us. We need to make sure that we don't shut off the light when we hear things that we don't want to hear. Because sometimes we back away from teaching or from the word at the very time when we need it the most. Because when it begins to make us uncomfortable, we start going, wait a minute. And we might not actually say that, but we do it. If you are convicted at church and you choose not to come back, you have made a terrible mistake. Because God is trying to change you into what you need to look like. And He is the best. He knows best. But many times we begin to push away from things when it's exactly what we need to hear. And so when you start to get uncomfortable, I'm going to challenge you, start in that moment to really pay attention. Choose to push your defenses down. And choose not to think all of the other people that need to hear what that preacher is saying, because that's the enemy will do that too. And choose to say, God, what are you saying to me? What are you showing me in the mirror? What light are you shining in my life? Like Rick was talking about this morning. Because God's word will shine and reveal, and we need to let Him do His perfect and complete work. James 1:4 says, let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But when God shines light on us, patience, it takes patience for things to be changed in us. So Matthew 18:21-27, let's read that. And this was the story about forgiveness. And it starts with, then Peter came to him, Jesus, and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, the Bible note that I read said that Peter thought he was doing, like God, he was saying an extreme, because typically what was known was three times. You forgave three times. So he is way beyond that. He's like, you know, okay, I'm going to go the extra mile and say maybe I should forgive seven, you know, three times or seven times. And Jesus just kind of threw all his theology out the window, you know, and said 70 times seven. And so, therefore, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus begins to explain with a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave the debt. My dad used to sing a song. it was an old song that we used to all sing back in the day, called He Paid a Debt. And it says, He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song of amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. We have to be careful that we do not forget what a great debt has been paid for us. Because it's very easy, the longer that you serve the Lord, to forget where you came from. And for me, it's not even about just, because I didn't come from a life of all this sin as far as what the world calls sin. I got saved, as young, as my mom tells me, 5. I remember around 12 really becoming really concerned and wanting to make sure that I was saved. But do you know that at 5 years old, I was born into sin? I already had thousands of sin categorized because of selfishness, because of attitudes, because of disrespect that I had shown to my parents. So I already had, I mean, in God's eyes, I was very sinful already. And when I got saved. And so we have to be careful, no matter where we are, that we don't forget that we've been cleansed. 2 Peter 1:9 says, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness." These things is talking about adding to your faith. Add to your faith all of these things, which I would encourage you to study this passage if you've never studied it. "But he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." As a side note, I did put this on YouVersion. I don't know if it showed up, but it did. Okay, so he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Forgetting that we've been forgiven will cause us to look at others differently. It will cause us to look with a lot more judgment when we forget all that we've been forgiven of. And notice how fully the master forgave the first servant. In verse 27, it says, "Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion. He released him and forgave him the debt." So he released him from prison and then forgave him the debt that he owed, all of it. That word "released" in the Greek, in the King James, it's "loosed him," and it means to free fully. God freely and fully released him from his debt and from prison. Look in verse 28. It says, "But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii and laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.'" So he took this man by the throat. He obviously was not thinking about how much he had just been forgiven. He was so focused on what this man owed him. And listen, we can become this way. When we get so focused on our own rights and what we are owed, then we can forget what, you know, what we have, what we owe to God and how much he freely forgave us. And so this man is very angry, and he went out, took him by the throat, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. The same one who had been forgiven so much. We have been forgiven so much. We need to be careful that we don't forgive. I mean, that we don't forget. Verse 31. "So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done." Other people notice how we live. And when we become bitter, it shows to others around us. And these people noticed. They saw what happened with him, and then they saw what happened with him and his fellow servant. So we need to be careful. Notice too, the man said, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." We need to have patience with others while God is working on them, because God has patience with us. And this is the beautiful thing about forgiveness, is that when we learn to release the other person or people or situation to God, then we can allow God to work on them. And he is so much better at it. He's so much better. Verse 32 through 35 says, "Then the master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him." Now, this is strong. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. This is Jesus talking. We need to get how serious this is. Because this is Jesus talking when Peter said, how many times should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And Jesus ended with the master delivering this other man to the torturers until he should pay all that was due. Listen, we do not want to be held accountable for all of the sins that we have done when we stand before God. Because we will not make it into heaven based on our works. And we will never be able to do enough good works to make ourselves equal with God, to cancel out the sin that we've done. So we don't have a choice in the matter if we want to be in right relationship with God. Notice it also says, you do not from the heart, not from the feelings, not from the emotions. I have forgiven people throughout my lifetime without a lick of feeling. Forgiveness is a choice that we make. It's not like, oh, I just feel such forgiveness rising up in me. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It is a choice that we make of our will to say, God, I am going to obey you and I am going to release this situation and this person to you, knowing that you have forgiven me and I have no right to hold on. As I said, that doesn't mean that you agree with the situation. That doesn't mean that you say it's okay. It means you release it to God and you go on about living your life as he's calling you to. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. It is important that we forgive from our heart. Like I said, not from our emotions, not from our feelings. Because if we wait for our feelings, we might not ever forgive. Many times, as we make the choice to forgive, the feelings will follow. But they do not precede it many times. So we make a choice to obey God. We have to allow God to rule our hearts. And as we allow him into the shine the lights on our hearts, to rule in our hearts, then the thoughts in our heart come from his word instead of from our own feelings, from our own emotions. We have to allow God to rule our hearts and let our thoughts come from him instead of from our own evaluations. The word evaluate, put up the next PowerPoint, Josiah. The word evaluate means to judge the value or condition of someone or something in a careful and thoughtful way. We need to be careful when we make our evaluations more important than what God's word says. Because Luke 6, verse 37 says, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Now it's interesting. In this passage, that word forgive and you will be forgiven, that's the same word that's used in Matthew 18 when it says the master released him, when he loosed him to free fully. So here, in order to be forgiven and to be released and to be free, we have to choose to forgive and we have to choose to release and forgive and free. If we want to be free, we have to stop making our own evaluations, judgments, and get more focused and let God's light give us understanding. We can't sit in the dark and see things God's way. We have to let his light shine, and we can't see things his way if we're being disobedient. Mom's going to come and share.
I'll talk loud. Okay, Pastor Shannon asked me to share this, and as I look around, I'm sure a number of you have heard this before, but this was something that happened many years ago in our first church, and it's still real clear to me, like most spiritual things are, most of our lives, they just stay clear. I went through a time in my Christian walk, and I love praise and worship. I love to cry and lift my hands and clap. I just love it. But I went through a time where I wasn't feeling any liberty in the praise and worship time. In fact, all of my prayers seemed to be that I would say them, and they would get about to hear, and then they were done. I went through this for weeks. Now, I had been through dry spells before, so for a time I just chalked it up to, well, I'm going through a dry spell. Kept right on, of course, as a pastor's wife, you don't quit church. But anyway, I kept right on going to church. But I was not having any liberty in the praise and worship, my Bible reading. I wasn't getting any revelations. My prayer times were dry. So I began to really get in earnest, seeking the Lord and asking him, how come all of a sudden everything's so dry? After a while of talking with the Lord about it, I had a spiritual friend. And we had moved, of course, years back to start this first church. So I hadn't seen her for a time and hadn't really kept up with her. But she always just seemed to walk close to the Lord. So I called her, and as soon as she picked up, oh, hey, Sister Dolan, she starts just chatting. I told her, I said, I just really need to ask you to do something for me. And I kind of cut short. I didn't want to fellowship with her. I said, I don't know what I've done. I said, but it's like my prayers are brass. It's like I get nothing from the praise and worship service. I just need you to pray for me. She started to pray, but she went right into a message in tongues, and then she gave the interpretation. There were other things said, but very simply, the Lord spoke real clearly to me, and he said, I will not allow you to hold unforgiveness in your heart. And as soon as she said that, I thought, oh, God. I just told her, I said, she started after the interpretation. She said, now, Sister Dahl, you might. I said, Bunny, I just need to go. I didn't want her to try to make excuses for God. Because when he said that, I knew. I was the fault. I was the problem. And I went and got me a legal size pad, 8.5 by 14. Not a 8.5 by 11, 8.5 by 14. Got me a pen, went in the bedroom. And I wrote as quick as I could, and I filled up 3 legal-sized sheets of paper of things that I had allowed to just build up in my heart. And I can't even recall most of them, but some of them were heavy-duty. If I told you, you might say, well, no wonder you had some unforgiveness. But that wasn't the issue. As I looked at it, I thought, oh, God, how could I do that when you have forgiven me for everything I ever did? So I just looked at it, and I made a decision. I was going to have a bonfire in my kitchen. So I went in my kitchen. I got me some matches, and as those 3 legal size sheets of paper burned up, I knew that if the devil had any way in this, he wasn't going to let it end with that. So I'm very visual. I like to visualize things. That's why I love PowerPoints. I love pictures. So I decided from then on, any of these sins that the devil tried to bring back, or even in my own thoughts, they tried to come up, I erected little tombstones in my head. And for about a month when these thoughts would come, what had been done to me or the hurt or the problem, I'd say, oh no, that's in the graveyard. And I would point the devil, and I would even point Lou Dahl's flesh to, that's in the graveyard. And the beautiful thing is, the presence of the Lord became so sweet again. The praise and worship services were glorious, and my prayer life returned. But you know, it's a real scary thing to think, if I hadn't dealt with that, how far I could have gotten away from God. Because I don't want to get far away from him. I want to be like those pictures you see of the shepherd, that there's one little sheep right at his feet. I want him to have to step over with me if he moves. So I want to stay that close to him. And one other thing, that taught me something, that we as Christians are very wise if we keep short accounts with God. Don't wait till Sunday. Don't wait till Wednesday. Don't even wait to your nightly prayers. As soon as you realize, God, I've missed it. That was an ugly thought. That was unkind what I said. Right then, And if you're in the car driving, if you're with somebody, you can just in your heart say, God, I am sorry. Please forgive me and please cleanse me from that. So keep short accounts with God, because our hearts are important and they matter. And we can't hold unforgiveness and get by with it. Jesus forgave us completely. And that's exactly what he expects of us.
So we have to choose over and over to let the Holy Spirit, if we are really walking with the Holy Spirit and we have things in our heart, he will reveal it to us. And sometimes it might be through you realize, God, why do you feel so far away? What's going on? That was God's mercy to reveal to her something is wrong. Admit, you know, find out what is the problem. And so we cannot grow past unforgiveness. We cannot, because it is such a big deal to God. And listen, you cannot wait for the other person to change, or for the other person to come to you, or for the you have to make a choice between you and God to forgive and to let God handle the situation from there. I want to end with the next PowerPoint. We have to get God's perspective. Perspective means the angle or direction in which a person looks at an object. It means point of view. It means the ability to understand what is important and what isn't. It means an accurate rating of what's important and what isn't. We have to look at God in order to get his perspective, in order to get his understanding on what's important. And in order to do that, we have to push our feelings out of the way. We have to push our rights sometimes out of the way. We have to push the way that we have evaluated and judged the situation. We have to push that out of the way and look at God and get his perspective. Psalm 32 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I used to think like God was, that meant God would like do like this and guide us. But I remember I was praying one day, God, I just need your perspective. And God showed me that scripture in a whole new light. I will guide you with my eye. When I see things from his perspective, from the way that he sees things, his perspective is always right. And he knows exactly how to deal with every situation at the right time, better than we do. And when we magnify our judgments and our evaluations above his, we make a mistake, because he is always right and he knows better. So Proverbs 17:9, I want to end with this scripture. It says, he that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates very friends. And that's in King James. Well, covereth, but he that covers a transgression seeks love. There are times, listen, we cannot cover our own sin. Proverbs 28:13 says, but we cannot cover our own sin. But we can cover, you know, sometimes we just got to overlook things. We just got to cover it and let God handle it. And make sure that you don't gossip, because gossip breeds things. And it will separate things, separate friendships. And so we're going to listen to a song. And as we listen to this song, I just want to challenge you. It's called Who You Are. And it says, you can change who you are. I love what Rick said this morning. You know, it doesn't matter at what place we find ourselves in our lives. God has been dealing with Silas at 9 years old. He's been coming to me lately because the Holy Spirit has been bringing things to his mind that he remembers that he needs to repent for. And so we've been talking that out, and he's been repenting to God and repenting to us. So we can start very young, and it can go on to very old. It's not an age thing, that as we allow God to show us and as we yield to the Holy Spirit and let him do his work in us, as we submit to his work in our lives and obey what God's word tells us to do, we offer our life for him to change us. So Josiah's just going to play this song. And so I just challenge you, if you need to repent, if you need to forgive, if you need to just take some time between you and God, if you want to stay in your seat, you want to come to the altar, just let the Lord speak to you.